again entered into another tent and carried them thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well this day. It is a good tiding and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither the voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents are as they were. He called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Listen to the reply of the king. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed and ascend and see. And they took therefore two chariots, and the king sent after the horses of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them, and the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Amen. Would you bow your heads tonight? Ask the Lord to help us in the remainder of this service. Dear Heavenly Father, much about leprosy. I have looked at it in magazines and encyclopedias, but as far as ever going to a leper's camp, I've never been there. So Neil, to say or I ever have seen a leper, I have not. But I know that it was a terrible disease and very contagious, in that the Israelites would, amen, by the commandments of God, shun these people. And they were no longer welcomed in the city because of that disease and how it could contaminate not only other people, but houses and furniture. And so these men were shunned by society. I remember one time in Panama, probably the closest I've ever been to somebody with something similar to leprosy, I was asked to pray for a man that was sick, dying of cancer. And the cancer had got so bad that it had spread to the outside of his body. And not to be graphic, but it began to eat away at his flesh. And we walked in that night, that smell of rotten flesh. And to see the pain that that man was in, amen, was literally, it was awing to see. I mean, took your very breath and the sorrow that you felt for him. And these men were out by themselves, and we find that the city has been besieged. The Bible tells us that, amen, there was a great hunger there, in that they were dividing up their children or thinking about eating their own children. Amen, the women and men were eating the dung of birds, and it was an awful time of hunger. And the Bible says here that these men are set by the gate or set there, and they begin to wonder about their, amen, about their dilemma. They begin to wonder about the situation that they were in. And they ask the question, why sit we here till we die? Amen. They realized that if they sat there, that death would inevitably come. If it was not by leprosy, it was going to be by starvation. Amen. They realized that something had to be done. Amen. Or they were going to die. I see a lot of folks in that state, but they didn't realize their condition. Amen. They didn't realize how bad things had got, and they didn't see the seriousness of what was going on. Amen. I remember my great aunt when she found out, amen, that she had cancer. And it was days or years before that that she began to have pains in her chest and in her rib cage. And she never would go to the doctor, and some said, you need to go. I mean, went on gone for a long, long time. And finally when she got there, and they examined her and did all the scans on her body. Amen. The diagnosis was cancer. And there's nothing we can do. I mean, how many times have you heard from loved ones and friends that they went to the doctor and the report was, amen, it's too late. If only we had been just a little bit earlier. Amen. Only if we had caught, amen, the cause of this. If only a girl today called me crying, amen, begging for prayer for her family. Amen. Her 25-year-old sister went to the hospital last night, amen, with cramps in her legs. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong. Amen. Excruciating pain in her legs and thighs. Amen. Last night about 1 o'clock. Amen. She passed away because of blood clots that got to her heart. Amen. Can I tell you, if only they had found the root of the problem, it might have been a different story. But these men knew what was wrong. Amen. They were trying to do something to solve it. Amen. They solved their dilemma, but in their desperation, amen, they made a step to do something about that situation that they were in. Amen, you know, sometimes it takes getting desperate to get out. Amen, sometimes it takes just making up your mind and saying, I've had enough and I've got to find something better. Amen, they said, listen, if we go to the city, there's no food there. Amen, they have no answer for us. Amen, peradventure, if we go down to the Syrian camp, amen, maybe they'll have mercy on us and maybe they'll spare us a morsel to eat, or maybe they might slay us, amen, but die or not, we've got to do something. And they got up from where they were and they begin to move towards that camp. Amen, can I tell you tonight, I said, can I tell you tonight, we're faced with a great dilemma, amen, of what we're going to do. Amen. Whether we're going to move with God or go against God. Amen. Whether we're going to sit and feel sorry for ourselves or do something about the situation that we're in. I've told it here before several times. Amen. Years ago, me and Brother Frankie and some more men were way up in the mountains toward Costa Rica. And we were walking up in those mountains. And what should have been just a short trip turned into a mighty long time. Amen. Going up those mountains. Amen. You'd pray, oh, if I could just go down. Your thighs be hurting so bad, burning. Walking up those mountains and you start to go down. And you pray that I could just go back up because your calves begin to burn. And all them men brought, amen, on that journey was a little quart things of Kool-Aid they bought at the store. Everybody had one in their pack, and we got probably an hour or two in, and we just chugged that Kool-Aid down, and that was a big mistake, drinking that sugar water. I mean, just got more thirsty, and they begin to talk about the river, the river. If we can make it to the river, we can get water. And it was a long time before we got there. I mean, you could hear it running, but we didn't get there probably for a couple of more hours as we walked through that jungle. And I remember coming up on a mud puddle, and that water was stagnant. It didn't move. And ain't no telling how long it sat there. I remember Brother Neil the other day was out there, and that old stagnated water, how it smelled. Amen, that water had a similar stench to it. I mean, it was filthy. And one of those men said, here's something to drink. I thought to myself, I ain't drinking that. Amen. Brother Josh, what he did was he knelt down on one knee and he skimmed back the filth off of that water and he drunk out of that stagnant pond. And I thought to myself, I ain't that desperate yet. I said, I ain't that desperate yet. Amen. But it got to the point later on, if I could have found me a mud puddle, amen, if I could have went back to that place and not had to backtrack, I'd have went face first in it and drunk all that I could. Amen. There's been times when you get desperate. I thought there'd been times you put things in front of me and I wouldn't have ate it to save my life. I'd have went down the road and gotten me something else to eat. But when you hadn't had anything all day, amen, when nothing. One man, my mama said one time she had a kitty cat.
And they wouldn't eat anything but it's a certain kind of food. I think it's 9 lives or something. It's expensive anyway, my daddy thought. And my mama, every time she went to the grocery store, had to buy that food. And the times were kind of rough. And mama said, I got to get the food or the cat will starve. She won't eat anything else. I remember just like it was yesterday, my daddy said, don't feed that cat by 4 or 5 days. You throw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich out there, he eat it then. Because he hadn't had anything to eat. Amen. He'll get desperate and eat what you set before him. Amen. When a man gets desperate, he don't care if he's got to climb out. He don't care what he's got to do to get better. Amen. When my daddy faced lung cancer, and they said it's radiation or die. They said you'll have burns on your back. You'll lose your hair. Your throat will burn. You'll be nauseated. He said, but I want to live. And it took that radiation. I'm telling you tonight, we need to get desperate. Amen. There's some of us that are in the dilemma. There's some of us here tonight, if we're not careful, we're going to die spiritually. Amen. We're going to die physically. For it's appointed unto a man wants to die. Amen. After this, the judgment. Death comes to every household. Amen. Every man, woman, and boy or girl. Amen. Sooner or later is going to die. Amen. But my eternal soul can live on forever. It's time we get desperate and do something about the state we are in. Amen. Can you imagine? I mean, this was probably a pitiful sight to see. Amen. These weren't well men. Amen. These weren't soldiers. Amen. That could go in and slay the army of the Syrians. Amen. Not even one or two. But these men were unarmed. And they were going on the mercies of what the Syrians might have upon them. Amen. For one morsel of bread, for just a little something to eat, they were willing to risk their life. Amen. I said they were willing to risk their lives. And they came to the decision. Amen. We've got to go. Amen. Let's get up and let's go towards the camp. And can I tell you, when you make that step towards God, I said when you make that step towards God, amen, God's going to help you. Amen. And the Bible said when they begin to go down that road, and the Syrians heard a great army, amen, God made it sound like chariots and horsemen were coming down to fall upon them. He said it must be the Egyptians. They had to hide the Hittites. Amen, boys, let's get up and run. All it was 4 leprous men that had a made up mind. It's now or never. It's die. Amen, or get help. I wish I could get like that sometimes, don't you? I'd like to see something happen, but I'm not willing to pay the price at times. Oh, Lord, move on our hearts. I said, Lord, move on our hearts and help us. I said, help us to get desperate about life.
Amen. I said, get desperate about life. I remember that night that I prayed. Oh, man, it's probably one of the biggest steps I ever took. It was the biggest step I ever took in my life. Amen. When I knelt down by that bedside, I said, when I knelt down by that bedside, amen, I was desperate. I want it out. I said, I want it out. Amen. I was willing to do whatever it took. I was willing to lay down whatever I had to lay down. I was willing to pick up whatever I had to pick up. Amen. It wasn't no bargain. I wasn't trying to make a deal with God. Amen. I told God I'd do whatever if He'd just take me out of what I was in and help me to get over what had me bound. And you know what happened? Amen. That great army, amen, was defeated. All those legions of devils and the devil himself in an instant by the power of God. Amen. A born again experience. I'm telling you, when a man gets desperate, he's willing to do whatever. Amen. Surely there might be something for us there. Amen. Surely there might be something for us there. Amen. Think about that. Amen. They moved not knowing what was going to be there. I said they moved not knowing what was going to be there. I've seen it time and time again as a preacher. Amen. You get a pretty good view from where I'm at.
Come on now. I said, you get a pretty good view. You see smiling faces. You see rolling eyes. Come on now. Amen. You see folks agreeing with you. You see folks, amen, not agreeing with you. Amen. You see a lot of things when you're up here, not out there. Come on now. I'll be turning around looking. I'm telling you, from this place, you get a pretty good view of how things are going. Amen. Whether folks are enjoying or enduring. Amen. Some of you look like you might be enduring right now. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, amen, I made up my mind I was going to serve him. Amen. These men didn't know what the amen, what it held down at that camp. They didn't know whether they're going to be dead or alive, but they made up their mind to go. Now, I've seen it in services where men would stand up and women would stand up. And I've seen them grip the pew, tears dripping down their eyes. Oh, amen, knowing that they needed to make a decision. I'm not talking about just a sinner. I'm talking about people that claim to be saved. Amen, got things bothering them, things that are hindering them. Amen, Lord, I want to quit. I said, Lord, I want to quit. Amen, I'm like that preacher told that man. OBH Clendenin, a man come to him and said, hey, I need to be delivered from cigarettes. I can't stop. OBH Clendenin said, first I'm going to pray for that lying spirit you got in you. Amen. You can stop if you want to. Come on now. Amen. You can stop if you want to. And I'm telling you tonight, there's some things we can lay down and God will help us once we put them there. Oh, but I've seen it time and time again. I don't mean to get carnal here. But back when I was a boy, I liked to watch wrestling. Amen. I remember when Gordon Soley was on that channel. It was years ago. Ric Flair was a big wrestler. He always said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Amen. Here's the issue in the challenge saying, if you want the championship, you got to beat me. Amen, but that goes right to the church. If you're ever going to be something in God, you got to beat the flesh. Amen, you got to beat the man. Amen, put him aside and say, more than I want to please self, I want to please God. Can you imagine the blessing when they got there? Amen, they expected to find a Syrian army and maybe go up to a captain or a porter and say, excuse me, sir. Amen, can we have a morsel? But as they got there, they saw garments and horses tied. Amen, the camp was empty, and they began to pick up the spoil. Amen. The Bible said there was silver. I got to thinking about that. Amen. There was silver. There were raiments. Here they were. I mean, they're filling up their baskets. Amen. They're getting ready for a good time. They ain't had nothing to eat in a while, and now the supply is there. Amen. They're rejoicing over it. I mean, there's come a change, helps in their lives, and they say, we do it not well. Amen. We've got to go tell the king's household. We've got to let them know what we got. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, when you really get it, I say, when you really get it in your heart, you ain't going to hide it up under a bushel. You ain't going to put it nowhere nobody can't see it. You'll get signs and put them outside the road, Russell. Amen. You'll get out and tell folks, amen, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. Let me tell you where God brought me from. Yes, I was bound by addiction. And yes, I seemed to couldn't get free. But one night, I said, one night, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all sin. Amen. Some didn't want to hear it. Some turned their back and walked away. But I still told about the blessing that God gave me. Hey man, you know, sometimes I get excited. I get excited a lot of times when I think about it. Amen. How far God brought me. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I think I was telling Neil, my grandmama said, if she got saved, all she could talk about was Egypt. How the mud was on her shoes when she came out. Amen. How the garlic and the leek smell. Amen. How things were there under the taskmaster. Amen. But she said, from being 16 to 84 and being saved all those years, said when she got to testify in later life, amen, she remembered that God brought her out. She couldn't remember everything about it. Amen. Amen. She got been saved so long. I said, she'd been under God's grace and mercy so long. Amen. She know he did a work for her. Amen. But all she could talk about was her life in him. Amen. I was telling Neil the other day, I said, when I look back 20 years ago, amen, I see a man that I don't even recognize. It seemed like a different man. A man that I don't even know anymore. Why? Because that man died out the flesh. amen, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and resurrected a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. Stop sitting at the gate and wondering. Amen. Stop wondering what could happen. You know what you need to do to make up your mind. I'm tired of all I'm going to do better. I'm tired of I'm going to lay it down. I'm tired of everybody saying you can, I can't. Amen. I just come to Jesus and say, here it is, Lord. I can't handle it any longer. I can't go with the burden. One more day, I'm desperate and I need help.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, talking to TJ a while back, was talking about prayer and men being in positions where you need help. I said, TJ, if you're drowning, amen, and you want to be macho all you can, want to be a man, it's great if somebody throws you out a buoy with a rope tied to it and pulls you in one of those lifeguard things. Man, if I throw you a rubber ducky, that's all you got, you're going to grab hold to it. I mean, really, think about it. Man, if I throw you whatever, and you know it can get you out, you're going to grab hold to it if you want out. Amen. I said, if you want out, these boys said, we want out. He went down to that city to come back. I got thinking about that. Amen. Here it was. They made that decision in that dilemma. And here it was. They came talking about what God had done for them. And amen, the blessing that they had in their life. And they told the porter, they said, hey, porter! Amen. Look what we found. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do to you tonight. Amen. Hey, porter! Amen. I want to tell you something, church. I found something better than gold. I found something. Amen. Better than any well of water I've ever tapped into. Amen. For those wells will run dry. Amen. But I found a well that shall never run dry. Amen. In my times of hunger, I have found the bread of life. In my time of desperation, amen, when it seemed like I didn't know what to do, I found peace that passeth all understanding. While others are crying in sorrow, I've got joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Amen. I come to tell somebody I found a way out. I come to tell the world. I come to tell the church. There's a better way. It don't have to end like this. It don't have to be like this. There's help. I said there's help. Amen. There they are. I mean, really, get to look on this. I ain't got no garments. Amen. But just think about this. Man, they got silver. They got raiment. It's all sticking out. They're holding it up. They got food. Come on. Tell the king. We found it. And that porter's probably pretty excited. He runs back and says, oh, king, man, there's some lepers outside. They got all kind of stuff in their hands. And they said, the Syrians have fled. Uh-huh. Sure they have. But you watch. It's a trick. As soon as we get up and go down there, they're hiding somewhere. They're going to fall upon us because they know we're hungry. And we're going to do whatever. And as soon as we get out the gates of this city, this is our security. They're going to kill us. You know, that's what a lot of folks say. When you say, hey, I found a way. I found something better than anything I ever tried. I found something good. They say, well, preacher, it ain't really like that. It can't be. And just as soon as I get up there and do something about it, it ain't going to be what you say it is. I'm going to be right back where I was. Amen. I guarantee you, amen, if you really give him all, he'll help you. And I'm talking to everybody here tonight. You hear me? I said, if you give him everything, thank God for one little man that stood up and said, the Bible says one of his servants answered and said, let some I take thee. I pray thee just take some horses and go see. It might be. It just might be this is real. It just might be they got a hold of something. it just might be. I got a hold of something. I'm going to tell this and I'm going to close. I've told it here again, time and time again, until again tonight. I sat in there and I so bound. I so bound, so caught up in so many things. And I mean, I was a wretched looking thing. Wretched. I thought, everybody's talking about religion, church, doing better. I'm thinking, man, come on now. It ain't can't be all that. It can't really be what they say it is. Inside saying, I need something. I need something. But really, this ain't the answer. Old Brother Frankie looked at me after everybody went to bed and he said, I want to tell you about a man who can save you. I'm thinking, all right. I mean, I was young. So I'm thinking, this old cat don't know nothing about me. He don't know where I've been, what I've been through. How is he going to tell me God can save me? He says, I was bound. Until all the things that had him. He began to tell all the things that seemed like wrapped him up in his life that he's lived. I'm thinking, man, who done told this guy about me? Ain't no way. I mean, everything he's been through, I'm going through. He said, after all those years, he talked about disappointment. He said he'd come home. He got married on his honeymoon night. On his honeymoon night, he left his wife for 3 weeks. Went out and partied with the priest that married him. And came back 3 weeks later. Sister Mita said he'd be gone for, his wife said he'd be gone for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And he come knock on the door, said drunk, couldn't hardly stand up, just ran out of money, come back home to get food. Said her first instinct was to leave him outside, don't let him in. Said, but she opened that door. She grabbed him, she'd take him to the back, wash him off, put him in bed, give him a good night's rest, and then next morning, she'd fix for him. As long as he stayed there, she'd done for him. And he'd tear off again. Brother Frankie talked about all that disappointment he caused his family and how he hurt everybody. He said, but one night, he said, I prayed. He said, I heard a preacher. He said, I listened. I took a chance. It changed everything. And I think he told me, if I'm correct, that's 18 years later when he was talking to me at that table. 18 years later. And he was still talking about how God moves and how God delivers. And just like him, I said, Lord, I'm desperate enough to try anything. If you'll help me. If you'll help me. You know what? Prayers wasn't in vain. 20 years later, I stand before you tonight saying, found something. Boys, it ain't death, it's life. Amen. What you looking at ain't bondage, it's freedom. Amen. Living for God ain't no chore. It ain't no task. It's exciting and it's real. Amen. I don't come to church thinking to myself, oh Lord, I gotta go to church to help me. Oh man, I got to live for God every day. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. Man, I'm excited about what I got. Amen. When I wake up in the morning, amen, I ain't worried about where my children's been. I ain't worried about what they saw the night before. I ain't worried about those things. Why? Because I put them in the Lord's hands. Amen. I put them in the Lord's hands. Amen. We prayed and we've had devotion. And I'm living for God. Yeah, it might come. I'm not saying sadness won't come. I'm not saying heartache won't come in my life. But there's a difference in facing it alone and facing it with God. I said there's a difference tonight. Amen. I ain't coming telling you and trying to give you something that don't work. I ain't trying to give you something that has not been proven. I ain't trying to talk about something, amen, that will not help you. But I got an answer. You give me your problem, I'll tell you Jesus. Amen. You say I can't. I'm too bound. I'll say the blood of Christ. I said the blood of Christ can set any man free. Amen. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Close with this. I read a story some time back. And the king had invited one of the governors down. And he was in the kingdom, or there in the palace. And the king told him, said, I'm going to give you a privilege that only I have. So I'm going to let you pardon one of the prisoners in the cells. And so he went down to the cell to pardon one prisoner. Now you've heard it. One by one, he said, sir, what did you do to be here? Oh, governor, I'm not guilty. I did nothing wrong. I've been framed. Went to another, same thing. Governor, I've done nothing wrong. I'm an innocent man, but they got the wrong guy. Finally, he came to the last cell and said, sir, what did you do wrong? He said, I'm guilty. He said, I'm guilty. I did what they said I did. And I'm here because of my own actions. Kind of humorous, they said the governor let him go and said, I'm letting you go free. I don't want you being such a corrupt man to affect all these innocent men that are here. You know, that's how we are. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. Whether you admit it or not, you chose the path. You chose the path. Stand to your feet with us tonight. But I'm telling you. I said, I'm telling you. We are free moral beings. We can choose not to live for Him. But we can choose to live for Him tonight. And all you've got to do is make up your mind. I don't know if I can. I'm telling you, God can pull you out if you can stand to pull. I said, God can pull you out. You can stand to pull. You know, sometimes we get hitched up and we think, man, that's I don't know if I can, and we cut loose. But He'll pull you out if you'll let Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, You know this congregation, and Lord, I wish I could do better, but Lord, this is what You laid on my heart. And we all here tonight have decisions to make. Whether we've been in church 20 years, 30 years, or ever, how long? And God, we choose daily to serve You. And God, let us realize the benefits of serving God far outweigh what the world has to offer. And if we're not careful, we'll pass by this opportunity for help. And God, as You throw us out that lifeline, if we're not careful, we'll turn the other way and die in our sins. And Lord, we'll not realize how bad we are, or what shape we really are in. Oh God, would You move for us? I said, God, would You move for us in this service tonight as we get ready to make an altar? I talked to a guy just 2 months ago. He's a Baptist preacher. I forget his name. He came in, and boy, he is just one of those guys, you know, you want to breathe for. He's just struggling for breath. And he said, I found out today I got cancer. And they said they're going to maybe do radiation. And, you know, I'm going to have to be put in a home because I can't take care of myself. My wife's in a nursing home. So I probably have to go in with her. So I've already made preparations. I've got these things working. And he just didn't realize he was a dying man. And he was going sooner than what he thought. They called in all these prescriptions after he left, said, fill them. And we filled them up. We sacked them up. And the next day, they put him on, you know, a special program to help him out. And the next day, you get a fax on the fax machine. And it says, DC, all medicine, discontinue. Patient, deceased. And hours after he said he's making preparations to do this and this and this, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And if you're not careful, while you're saying you're going to get out, you'll miss the very opportunity. And die without Him.